Hey, welcome to the Eddie Hyatt Save America podcast. I am your host and teacher, Eddie Hyatt, and I'm so glad that you've joined me today. I want to talk today, I'll present it in the form of a question. Did the United Methodist Church just depart from both Scripture and John Wesley? Of course, I think you know, most of you would know, John Wesley is the founder of Methodism. And I'm presenting this question because the United Methodist Church just made it official in their recent general conference that they accept, yes, they embrace homosexual pastors, bishops, clergy, Christian leaders. And this was not something totally new. This has been, they have been moving in this direction for some time. Hundreds of local Methodist churches had already left the United Methodist Church organization, and I'm sure many more will be leaving now. So, yes, they departed from both Scripture and from John Wesley and from their founding roots. Of course, Scripture is very clear. Hey, we don't hate homosexuals. We pray for them and desire that they will, just like all other sinners, that they will come to the knowledge of truth, come to know Jesus Christ, and receive his salvation. But the Bible is very clear. Jesus is very clear that marriage is between a man and a woman, for example. So I'm just showing you here where they have departed from Scripture. And I'm not going to take the time to go through, you know, from the Old and the New Testament, from Genesis to Revelation. But let's just look at Jesus. Our Creator in the beginning designed marriage to function between one man and one woman. And Jesus confirmed this original design in a discussion on marriage and divorce in Matthew 19. He pointed his listeners to the original model in Genesis 1 and 2. And here's what Jesus said. Listen to this. He said, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female and said," this is Jesus quoting what God said in the beginning, "for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder." Interestingly, the noted biblical scholar, the late Dr. F.F. Bruce, points out that Jesus is not here saying that every marriage is made in heaven, but he's saying that the original design of marriage was made in heaven and should never be put asunder, should never be mutilated, discarded, or put asunder. What a very clear statement by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, the United Methodist Church has departed from Scripture, departed from the teachings of the Bible and the teachings of Jesus. They have also departed from their founder, John Wesley. John Wesley was an ordained Anglican minister. In America, we call it Episcopalians. But he was, he had a heart for God. He was, he came to a place where he was so passionate and hungry to know God in a very real way, even though he had been ordained and had preached. He eventually came to the conclusion that he had never really been converted. And there's a whole story, and if you want to read about this, get my book, 2,000 Years of Charismatic Christianity. I have an entire chapter on the early Methodist and John Wesley. But after his conversion experience, he began to meet with others. Most of them were Anglicans and even Anglican ministers. This is in the 1730s. And on New Year's Eve, 1738, he and about 60 others got together for a watch night service and an all-night prayer meeting. And afterwards, in his journal, he kept a very careful daily journal of what was happening in his life and in England at the time. And here's what he wrote. He said, About 3 in the morning. When was the last time you heard of a prayer meeting still going at 3 in the morning? But this was because of their deep hunger and reaching out to God. He says, about 3 in the morning, as we were continuing instant in prayer, the power of God came mightily upon us, insomuch that many cried out for exceeding joy, and many fell to the ground. As soon as we recovered a little from the awe and amazement at the presence of His Majesty, we broke out with one voice, "We praise Thee, O God, we acknowledge Thee to be the Lord." So this was a real Pentecostal type, and I'm not talking about Pentecost as a modern church or denomination. I'm talking about what happened on the day of Pentecost, that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In that sense, this the Methodist revival was a real Pentecostal revival. And this revival spread throughout England and Wales and to Scotland, finally came to America. And there was a real emphasis on holiness, on holiness. In fact, John Wesley stated that that he believed the reason that God had raised up the Methodists was, in his words, to reform the nation, and in particular the church, and to spread scriptural holiness throughout the land. A scripture that he and other early Methodists often quoted was Hebrews 12:14, which reads, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." Now, the word holiness is a translation of the Greek word hagios, as is also the word sanctify and sanctification. And hagios, it literally means to be marked off and set apart for a special purpose, to be separated and set apart for a special purpose. For example, in the Old Testament, the tabernacle was hagios. It was set apart for the worship of God. It was not to be used for social gatherings. It was set apart. It was hagios, specially set apart for the worship of Jehovah, for the worship of Almighty God. The vessels, the utensils in the tabernacle and in later in Solomon's temple, they were hagios. They were separated and they were set apart to be only be used there in the temple and in Moses' tabernacle in the service of the Lord and in the worship of Almighty God. It's interesting, in the New Testament, believers are called hagios. Paul opens his letters, and in our English translation, he will say to the saints in Corinth or to the saints in Ephesus. And the word he uses is hagios. In other words, he's saying those whom God has separated and set apart for His own special purposes. You see, we live, and this is clear from Scripture, we live in a fallen world. The human race is a fallen race. That is why there is so much evil, ungodliness, and suffering in our world, and has been that way for all of recorded history. We see where this happened in Genesis, when our first parents turned against God, declared their independence, and decided to go their own way. And that opened the door to Satan, to death, and to all of the evil that we still happening today. But Jesus came. Jesus came to redeem us out of this quagmire of sin and rebellion against God. And he paid the price necessary that we can, through faith, receive forgiveness of sins and to become His own special chosen people. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9 speaks of those who have accepted Christ. And he says, "But you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a special people, a peculiar people." It means a special people whom God has called out of darkness into His marvelous light. So God has, He calls us hagios. He calls us a holy people, a separated people. And John Wesley saw this, and this is what he preached, and he called the people of the United Kingdom, he called them back to God, and he called them to be a holy
people. And he said, this is why God has raised up the Methodists. I'll read this again. To reform the nation and in particular church and to spread scriptural holiness throughout the land. And so because of this, he put demands on those early Methodists. Now, at this time, Methodism was not yet a church. It was a revival movement. But there were so many coming to the Lord, Wesley did not want to set up what he called another sect, another denomination. He wanted this movement that they were experiencing actually to impact all of the church. After he died, his followers formed this whole Methodist movement into another church and another denomination. But Wesley set up what was called societies. Organizations today call them chapters. Organizations like Full Gospel Businessmen's, Women Aglow, Promise Keepers, they have chapters in different cities. Well, Wesley set up there were other groups that had what they call societies. So he set up societies in every city of the Methodists that were coming to the Lord because he knew they were not going to get fed in the Anglican churches. So he set up societies and he would encourage them to go to the Anglican church in their city to get baptized, to receive communion and so on. But he knew they were not going to get fed. They were not going to experience the presence of God like they were experiencing their revival meeting. So he set up these societies for them to meet in regular. And he would go around and he would, what he would call, examine the societies. And he put very strict demands on them. Let me just read to you from his journal, March 12, 1743. He tells about visiting and examining the Methodist Society in the city of Newcastle. After his examination, he expelled 64 of their members. He expelled them from the society. Why did he do this? I'm quoting directly from his journal. He said, the number of those who were expelled from the society was 64. Two for swearing and cursing. Two for habitual Sabbath breaking. 17 for drunkenness. Two for retailing spirituous liquors, what we would call bootlegging. Three for quarreling and brawling. One for beating his wife. Three for habitual willful lying. Four for railing and evil speaking. One for idleness and laziness. And 29 for lightness and carelessness. Did you hear that? He expelled 29 people because, now the way he would examine them, he had leaders in each of the societies, and he demanded of the leaders that they stay in constant contact with all the members of the society and how they were doing in their walk with the Lord. So he would talk to the leaders about all the different people, and if necessary, he would talk to the individuals. And he expelled 29 for what he called lightness and carelessness. They just didn't seem to be serious enough in their faith and in their walk with the Lord. I wonder how many modern church members, how many modern charismatics would have made it as an early Methodist. And maybe that is the reason with all of our lights, glitz, smoke, prophecies, and rhetoric, we still have not impacted our culture. Now, early Methodism did transform English society. English society was transformed. No, the Methodists never became a majority, but the ones that were there, and there were many tens of thousands of them, they were very sincere, committed believers. They were truly salt and light in their generation. And whereas their neighbor, France, just across the English Channel, was experiencing a political and a societal revolution with blood, a tremendous societal upheaval and blood flowing in the streets, England was experiencing a revival that brought substantial societal stability and peace. Wesley and the early Methodists changed British culture not by compromising with it, but by challenging it. The United Methodist Church is compromising, and many other churches are compromising with modern fallen culture, but we will never change the nation when we compromise with the culture. Let me quote you one historian. One historian said, Wesley's purpose under God was to attack the root cause of spiritual deadness and moral decay and purge the nation's soul. He goes on, one cannot explain the transformation of 19th century Britain until one can understand John Wesley. Yes, the United Methodist Church just departed both from Scripture and from their founder and his founding vision. Now, there are many other Methodist churches that have separated themselves. And by the way, the word holiness means to be separate, to be set apart, devoted wholly to God and His purpose and His ways. And it's probably time that there came a new holiness, an old-time Methodist and holiness revival to the churches of America, to Ireland, to England, to Canada. May it do. Do it, Lord. Send us an old-time Methodist revival. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, call your people back to a life totally consecrated to you, uncompromisingly to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I'm Eddie Hyatt. Hey, check out my website, eddiehyatt.com. You'll find a lot of resources there if you want to be in touch with me. Contact information is there on my website. There are books there that will bless you. If you want to read more about John Wesley and the early Methodists, get my book, 2,000 Years of Charismatic Christianity. And if you would like to study it as a course, I have 20 videos where I have taught this as a course. I have produced a 20-lesson manual. The manual is also available on Amazon and on our website. It's called Revival History, but it also has the name 2,000 Years on it. It is an 8.5 by 11 manual with 20 lessons organized and laid out. And so if you want to really get into studying John Wesley and the early Methodist revival, we have some tremendous resources for that. Hey, this is Eddie Hyatt. I look forward to seeing you next time for another Eddie Hyatt Save America podcast. God bless you.